Last year, I grew a garden. It was super fun. I grew up on a cattle farm, and we had huge gardens that my grandparents worked in. But, you know, I moved down here and became a city slicker, as you can tell by the way I speak. And, man, I hadn't had a garden since I was a kid. And last year, my precious wife, who usually says yes to all my crazy ideas, let me dig up our suburban yard and make a garden. So I had a garden. We had peppers and tomatoes and cucumbers and all kinds of things, and it was great. Well, this year has just been crazy. You gonna have a garden? I think we were meant to be gardeners. You know, God brought humanity to life in a garden. But anyway, so this year's been crazy. We got married in May, and Daniel graduated in May, and it was just a lot. And so that planting season just sort of came and went. We didn't do anything in the garden. And I was out there in the backyard the other day, well, maybe like 2 weeks ago, cutting the grass and stuff. And what I thought, my little garden bed, I thought it just was full of weeds this whole spring. You know, I'm like, okay, well, it's full of weeds, whatever. Well, I was out there, and those weeds had grown up, and they were big old tomato plants. I had about 7 big, huge, like knee-high tomato plants. And I was like, well, I wasn't expecting that, but I sure would like some tomatoes here in a few weeks, so I better take care of this. And so I weeded the garden, put some cages around them, and I have a garden that I didn't plant. How about that? There's a scripture about that, talking about reaping where you haven't sown. We're going to talk about that, actually. It was actually that day I was down on my hands and knees getting out all this grass out of this garden, and I think it was I don't know if it was after your first message, Jonathan, or maybe after your second one. And I thought, man, this is what the Holy Spirit is doing to TGPA right now. I think God planted something that maybe we didn't even realize had been planted. Because he's always doing that. God doesn't sit around with empty fields growing nothing. But at some point, he dropped some seeds and some things started to grow. And the Spirit and Pastor Jonathan said, hello, you better weed this garden. I'm trying to grow something. It was a spiritual checkup. It was a moment to look inside and go, what's going on? What am I full of? Because Jesus said, it's not what you put in, like whether you eat pork or shrimps or, you know, unleavened bread. It's not all those outward things that makes you holy. It's what comes out. And that's what Jonathan said, and he calls us to look at what was coming out. And that was like pulling weeds in my heart. I don't know about everybody else, but that pulled some weeds for me. Then Pastor Gina came. We got this, you know, fresh ground that's been weeded up, tilled up, ready to see what God's planted, what God's going to grow. I'm taking care of the excuses, so to work in this garden, to see what is God growing. I don't know. You don't really know yet until it starts to come up. I had no idea even if those were tomato plants to begin with. I had to see. So we don't always know what it is God's going to bring up. But here we are. The ground's tilled. It's weeded. We've been recruited because Gina, you know, just threw all our excuses in the trash. And maybe we were feeling like not equipped. Like I don't know how to work a garden. I don't have any tools in my hand. All I have is this, you know, brokenness. All I have is this experience. All I have is this, you know, who I am. That's all I have. And Pastor Jenny comes around and goes, "Oh, well, good news, because that's exactly what you need. What you have is exactly what you need, because God works with what we have." So that's where I see us. I think God's planted something. I don't know if we know what it is yet. Do you know? I don't know. But something. And it's stirring. And we didn't plant it. God planted it. But we get to be the ones that work it. And we get to be the ones that harvest it. And here we are. No excuses. Knowing that God is going to use exactly who we are and what we have. So let's have a gardening lesson. If you're like me, I'm an arguer, and I got to know why. Why do I have to be here? Why are we here on a Sunday? Why aren't we out on the lake? Why is God growing something? Why do I have to be a part of it? Didn't Jesus like do everything when he said like it is finished? Like, doesn't that mean something? Well, yeah, actually it does mean something. It means his part is finished. He did it. But then what's this all about? Why do I have to work? Why do I have to, what am I working for? Because I'm not working for my salvation, right? Please tell me we know this. I'm not working to make stuff right with the Lord. We only say it every week. So what am I working for? What's this all about? Why does it take my effort? Why does it take my mind? Why does it take my passion? What is it? I think Jesus had probably some arguers in his little bunch that he hung out with. Because I love what the message says. This is going to be in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, "Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage." Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light. Sorry, this is verse 13 to 16. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Say shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. Oh, I'm sorry. There was a period there. Be generous with your lives. Period. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So what's the point of all this? Why am I here on a Sunday? Why do I care what it is that God's planting? Isn't he just planting something and he can reap it and he can work it and I can go along my saved and merry way because I'm going to go to heaven and I'm just precious and it's awesome? We've misunderstood the way God plans to work. We've misunderstood the way the rest of the story goes. Yeah, Jesus did side A. When he said it's finished, side A is finished. But there's a side B. There's more to be done. Why are we to be salt and light? And the short answer is because God is redeeming all things, and we have a role to play in that. Jesus said it's finished, right? Finished, finished, done. But God's redeeming all things, and at this present time, do we see all things redeemed? Anybody watch the news last night? Anybody wake up crying about the news this morning? We see the brokenness. We're so overwhelmed, we don't even know what to do or say. But down deep in my spirit and down deep in your spirit, you know it. You know God's making it right. You know he's working. You know he's got something better. He's got something better for this life and he's got something better for the next one. You know it or you wouldn't be here. But we're here, we're invested in this work because down deep, somewhere way down deep, we know God's working. We know something's happening. And we know we're supposed to be part of it. But what's the role? I'm going to read you something that messes me up. It messes me up. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 to 21. What's our role? That's what we're asking, right? Because down deep we know we've got one or we wouldn't be sitting here. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. I see people in the mirror. I see people on the TV. I see people every day that could use a fresh start. Created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and Him. It's finished. It's done. And then called us to settle our relationships with each other. You mean God isn't Himself going to come down and like make us love each other and work together? God put the world square with Himself through the Messiah, giving the world, the whole world, a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what He's doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ Himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. In Christ, God put the wrong on Him who never did anything wrong, so we could be put right with God. Has God set things right? Yeah. Do we presently see everything set right? Could it be that not everybody knows that God set us right with Himself? Could it be that not everybody knows that thing that Loida was singing? I'm one with you. Nothing in this world can keep me from you. Because man, when I get a hold of that, when I am in tune with that truth, you couldn't make me slap somebody in the face. You couldn't make me spit on somebody. God's redeeming all things. And it's our turn. I forget Jesus loves me, and then I turn into a crazy person, and I can't love anybody else because I done forgot that Jesus loves me. And now we got to set it right. But how? We try all kinds of ways to get it set right, right? We got a program. We got a march. We got a slogan. We got a t-shirt. We got a bumper sticker. We got all kinds of ideas about how y'all are doing it wrong. It's interesting that so many times, and I'm just going to talk about myself, it's so many times that when I am the most passionate about how y'all got it wrong, that's when I have the fewest ideas of how to act, what to do right. Man, I'm notorious for that. Y'all are wrong. This ain't right. You ain't doing right. You ain't treating people right. But like, I don't have really any ideas of how to do better. We're going about it the wrong way. How will we be salt? How do we be salt? How do we be light? How do we settle relationships between people and persuade men and women to drop their differences? Somebody on this earth needs to stand up and teach people how to settle their differences. Can we agree? Somebody needs to persuade men and women to drop their arms, to drop their attitudes, to drop their prejudices. It is a scary and humbling and terrifying thought that we're the somebodies. Man, I wish it was somebody else. That's too big. But it's our job. So how? How do we pick up where Jesus left off? You remember that scripture we said, anybody that believes in me is going to do what I've been doing. In fact, they're going to do even more, greater things. Jesus is side A, and we got to pick up and play side B and somehow, like, keep it going. We got to harvest the field we never worked because God started it. Solomon, the wisest guy ever, said, if God doesn't build the house, the laborers work in vain. God is building a house, and we got to somehow come alongside and do the same kind of work. How is that even possible? What I do know is that if I've got to pick up where somebody leaves off, I've got to work the way they work. If I'm going to work the way they work, I got to get inside their head. I got to get to know how they operate. I got to get to know them. I work for Christina. The nature of the way we work, like, is that she sows and I harvest. Like, that's just how we work. We work together. We do two very different things, but we're working on the same thing. And so lots of times I have to pick up where Christina leaves off. For that to work, I got to know how Christina works. I got to know what it was she said to those people. I got to know what she's got in mind for those people. I've got to know what processes she's using. We got to use the same processes. I got to get inside her head. And the more I know her and the more I work like she works, the more I can pick up where she leaves off. What about parents? You're trying to raise the same child. Like, you're not going to get the result you want, right? In fact, you're just going to, like, fight, and you're going to be frustrated with each other, and nothing's going to get done. And, you know, if, like, one person's like, yeah, we're going to do the chores before dinner, and the other one's like, yeah, we're going to do the chores after dinner. Not knowing that the one that wanted to do them before dinner, like, had something else in mind for after dinner. Like, you got to come together. You got to know that other person. You got to know what they're thinking. You got to know where they're going. You got to know, because you're working on the same thing. But you got to pick up where they leave off. And what happens, what I see in myself, what I see in us, we try to pick up where Jesus leaves off, but we do it not in the way Jesus has been doing it. Which is an honest mistake, because, like, we're human. We do things differently, we think things differently, whatever. But also, we've been made new. We have a new nature. Now we're growing it, we're developing it, we're feeding it, we're nurturing it. We've got God's nature inside us. And that's what we have to tap into. Because when Jesus did side A, when he came and made things right with the Father, he did it a certain way. It was God incarnate making things right. And it worked. Imagine that. And so our work, we got to figure out what was Jesus doing, and let's try and imitate his processes, his operations, his plans. How does he do it? And this is one of those things where, like, I'm going to talk about three things, but really God's, like, got a bazillion. So here's what I want you to do. If you hear me say the word creativity, I want you to say back to me, eyes open. Creativity. Eyes open. Okay, let's get inside, you know, Jesus' head. Let's get inside. Let's see what he's doing. Let's see how he operates. Let's see how it was he did side A, because we got to pick up and do side B. God is creator. It's the first thing we know about God. It's like the base. It's the thing. It's the first thing Scripture says about God. It's the first thing. If you just were an alien and landed on this planet, you'd see nature and you'd probably go, huh, I wonder if somebody made this. Our own internal conversation, right? You could probably never see or know anything. You could just be like hanging in dark space. And maybe one of the questions you'd ask is like, huh, I wonder if somebody made me. Right? It's kind of like just real basic, like real just instinctual. God is creator. It seems to me the most basic hint and proof of God's existence. God creates according to his will out of what is common to the environment before him. Do you remember Moses walking in the wilderness? They needed water. There was no water, but there was a rock. Well, God goes, all right, we need water. We got a rock, so water is going to come from the rock. That's creativity. Yeah. God willed to make a human, a person, something in his image. There was no human. There was dirt. Well, all right, then humans are going to come from dirt. That's creativity. Eyes open. God willed to make a universe. Now, we're not going to talk about why, but, like, I've been totally geeking out on some, like, why. Whatever the why was, God willed to make a universe. There was nothing. That's creativity. And creates out of the things that are common to the environment. You can be on any end of the spectrum for that, and it still speaks to our heart, because either way, that's how the story was told. Whether literally God had some, like, modeling clay out of some dust, I don't know. I wasn't there. But I know that's how the story has been told, and preserved throughout the ages, and it speaks to me. Because you know what it says to me? Is that God, in whose image I'm made, works with what he's got to meet a need. God's like a grandma in the kitchen. Do you have one of those grandmas or aunts or moms or dads that, like, the first question, not like, how are you? Are you well, healthy? G-eat? Yeah. Yeah, Ruthie's all, you know, have you eaten? I'm like, G-eat. G-eat. It's one word. G-eat. Did you eat? Yeah, God's like a grandma in the kitchen. Like, somebody needs to eat, and she's got 10 grapes, a sleeve of saltine crackers, and a can of Spam, and suddenly it's like Thanksgiving. I don't know how. My godmother's like that. God's like that. And that speaks to me that I can be like that because God made me in his image. I want to go back. You don't have to go back to it on the thing, but I'm just going to read part of this again from Matthew 5. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. There are God flavors in this earth. There are God colors in this earth. God has left his print everywhere in nature, in the human spirit, in art, in music. But we don't always see them, do we? We taste some other kind of flavor. We see some other kind of color. But if we brought out the God colors, if we brought out the God flavors, if we saw more, and if more people saw more of the goodness that is present in the creation, what would life be like? It's not about everybody floating around being happy. It's about the hungry people would be fed. It's not about la-di-da, let's have some spiritual meditation and like the God colors are so cool. It's about that there are no people living on a street. It's about that every child has a parent that loves them and cares for them. God's not asking us to create something that's not there. He's just saying, bring it out. I've put it there. There is goodness. Because I'm at work redeeming the whole of creation. And I've set it right with myself. It's there. You just got to bring it out. You just got to make sure people see it and recognize it. Because when people see God color, when people hear God sounds, when people taste God flavor. But see, what we like to do is go, oh, we're not getting it right. Y'all are, you know, corrupt and terrible. And so here's, you know, 100 rules. If you'll keep the rules, well, then life will get better. I don't think that's how God does it. Because God's full of creativity. He doesn't introduce some new thing. He works with what's there. And I'm telling you this morning that goodness is here. Redemption is here. Justice is here. It exists. It's true. It's truer than the air in my lungs. There is enough for everybody. We just got to dig it out. Next thing, when you hear me say this word, incarnation, this is your job. You're going to say, hands dirty. So I'm going to say incarnation,
hands dirty.
Hands dirty. So remember, we're talking about how does God do it? Because we want to figure out how God does it so we can do it that way. And the first one was creativity. We're going to use what's already there. Use what's in front of us. Use what God's already put there. And the second one I want to talk about is incarnation.
Hands dirty.
Hands dirty. There's a lot of world religions that have like God, you know, up on a cloud. And like there's some things you do to ascend, you know, spiritually, like you meditate. Praying all the time or doing all these good deeds. You know, it's a prescription. Our narrative is so mesmerizing to me because it's the one where God goes, whoo, I'm up here and they done fell way down there. They're really gonna mess it up if they try to climb. And so I'll go down. And that sounds simple and silly. And so if it does and you don't like that, I'm gonna say something else that, man, I learned this week and it just has been amazing. This is what the incarnation is like when a kid's learning to write and you take his hand and you make the letters for him because you know how to do it. Everything since the beginning, before sin, before anything, God was already doing that. Hey, where did our breath come from? He breathed into us. Where does our reason come from? C.S. Lewis says there's no point in arguing with God because you're arguing with the very one that gave you the ability to argue. Our intellect, our reason is just a drop in the ocean of his amazing intellect. Our love is just a drop in the ocean of his love. He lends to us out of who he is for us to be everything that we are. He made us. If I'm making a sculpture, if I don't put a nose on it, it doesn't have a nose on it. Everything that sculpture has came from the one who made it. And so when we found ourselves needing to overcome weakness, there's a problem. Because everything we do or can do comes because God holds our hand and shows us. But we needed to overcome weakness. God had no weakness to overcome. How can he show us how? And so God puts on weakness. Hebrews says, it makes good sense that the God who got everything started and keeps everything going now completes the work by making the salvation pioneer perfect through suffering as he leads all these people to glory. It's not that Jesus wasn't perfect or God wasn't perfect already. It's that he is now perfectly able to help us because he's experienced the part that he didn't need to even experience, the sin, the weakness. So that's incarnation. Hands dirty. God got his hands dirty. That's how he did side A. He did it with creativity. And he did it with incarnation. God wills to repair brokenness and does it by being broken. There's that creativity again. Well, I got plenty of brokenness, so I guess let's just use that. But you know what the cool thing is? And this is what came to me during your sermon, Jenny, and I haven't really put my finger on how to say it, is that that's amazing because that's what we've got plenty of to work with. He's given us a model we can follow. When you hear new creation ever, just say hallelujah, because my old creation is something else. Because we've been made new. We've put on Christ. We have his nature. We have his way. And before there was God's creativity and God's incarnation, we couldn't have even modeled what he did because we couldn't even connect with it. Well, guess what? We can connect with it now because he's put it in us. He said, I got to go because I'm going to send the Spirit who's going to live in you and going to teach you how to do all this stuff I've been blabbing about for 3 years. He put his Spirit in us, a new way. Literally new creation, made out of something new, something that lives forever, something that can know the plans and thoughts of God and somehow act on them. So God's creativity leads him to the solution of incarnation, which makes out of us new creation.
Hallelujah.
Which brings us back to now, if we are the new creation, and we're going to work the way God works, it brings us back to creativity. Does that make sense? A little bit? But at least is it connected in your spirit? We've got a job to do. We've got a role to play. God is redeeming everything, and we have a role. And that role is to set things right with people, to let them know God has made it right with him, and we got to get to work together. That's our role, man, and that is just overwhelming to me. And so if we're even going to make a dent, we got to work like God works. We got to get inside God's head. And part of getting inside that is to connect with creativity.
Eyes open.
Eyes open. You know what I mean by that? What's in front of you? What do you see? What's already there? Eyes open. We got to understand that God does this work, this redeeming work, through incarnation. Getting our hands dirty. Entering in, being involved, going to the brokenness, not running away from it, not sitting high and mighty on our pedestal saying, boy, I wish they'd get it right. Well, if they just do this, if they just do that. But how can I help? Because like I could tell you this all day long, this is how God works. It's resonating. You're like, yeah, that's true. But maybe you're like, she could be saying anything. Let's look at a little teeny place where I see this at work. It's at the end of Matthew chapter 9, but then it goes into chapter 10, and go ahead and go there, because again, I'm hoping you read this whole book this week. This is where he starts. This is like Jesus on the ground. Like, he's only got 3 years to do some stuff, so he's going, he's moving, he's shaking. I mean, he's hustling. Jesus, like, changed the course of history, you know, in 3 years of work. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. He's working. He's doing it. He's hustling. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. Prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Jesus called 12 of his followers and sent them into the ripe fields. He gave them power to kick out the evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. This is the list of the 12 he sent. My favorite parts of the Gospels are where you see Jesus' humanness and divinity, like, all in one moment. And this is one of those moments for me. Jesus looks out and his heart is broken. Kind of like when we turn on the news and your heart is broken. Do you know why our hearts are broken over those things? Do you know why stuff just doesn't sit well? Because we're a new creation. And even if we weren't, the imprint of God's initial creation on us is there. Justice is there. We know it ain't right. We know it's not the way it's supposed to be. We know there's a better way. We know that God's redeeming things, and it tears us up when it becomes so painfully obvious that we're not seeing it. People think bad things happening in the world means like there's no God and there's no redemption. I feel so completely opposite to that. I feel like the fact that the bad things tear us limb from limb means we know that there is a God and there is a redemption and there is something better. Otherwise, why would we care? We care because we got a job to do and we're made to do it. So I want to ask you, do you ever feel overwhelmed by the task that's before you? You're torn up about something. It's overwhelming. Where do I even begin? This task is so huge, setting the whole world right. Are you kidding me? Well, guess what? Jesus had that moment so he could stand with us when we have our moment. And he can show us what to do with that moment. Because guess what is not the answer? Sitting down and crying about it. Deborah Lynn Rodriguez is the worst about that. I'll go to bed and just cry and hide under the covers because the world sucks. Hiding under a bucket, that's what I do. But I reckon it's common because Jesus lets us see him have this same moment where he looks out and he goes, man, this is messed up. He didn't print a flyer. He didn't write a book. He didn't make up a slogan. He didn't try to tell everybody how to fix it even. He looked around to his buddies and said, get on your knees and ask the Lord what to do. Ask the Lord for a solution. I think we forget that God cares more about this than we do. This is God's project, this redemption thing, this justice thing. This is his house he's building. When I get stumped at work, you know who I ask what to do? The one that started the thing. I don't try to make up my own way. It don't even make no sense. When I'm absolutely stumped and overwhelmed, I go, dude, what do I do? What would you do? What's your plan? Because you care more about this than I do. You started this. You had the end in mind. Before you even asked me to help you, you had the end in mind. You already knew what I was going to do. You already knew what you needed from me. The burden of this is too hard is not ours to bear. The impossibility of it is not for us to bear. The work is for us to bear. The doing is for us to bear. And when we look out and we see this is terrible and I'm overwhelmed, Jesus says, just get on your knees and ask God what to do. And you know what happened? Oh, these jokers that are following Jesus around, they're like, okay. They just, yes, okay, let's get down. Jesus says to pray, let's pray. Oh, and well, guess what? The prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Oh my goodness, did something fall from the sky? Was there a new program or slogan that just happened to pop out? Was there a new, like, ideology that was just going to fix everything that just descended like the New Jerusalem from heaven? Was it a new app? Was it a Facebook post? And lo and behold, it was answered. Somebody's got to do something. Pray. And he's like, all right, get up and do something. Oh, man, but does that ever happen to you? Turns out you're the answer. Turns out Jesus is like, okay, yes, let's pray. Get up and go, you know, just go do it. That happens so much in the church. I'm saying something stupid so you don't think I'm talking about you. People are like, we need a flower planting ministry. Probably you the one that needs to be the chief flower planter then. Much to our dismay. Pray for something, but the answer to the prayer is right in front of us. I find in my life that the things that are bugging me the most is because I need to do something about them. But it's way easy to go, y'all need to do something about this. God's like, yeah, but I'm giving you creativity. And I'm calling you to a work of incarnation. And you can do it because I made you a new creation. This happened to me once in a big way where I felt like I just, my love-o-meter was like really off. And I didn't love properly and I didn't know how to like receive love properly. And I just was like, oh, Lord, you need to teach me about love. Teach me about love. Man, I was reading the word and I was writing on my mirror and I got it in my mind. Again, this is where we, instead of working the way God works, we want to work the way we work. So I wanted a list. I wanted to check something off. So I was like, Lord, I'm going to go through, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to start at the top. And you're going to teach me one at a time them things. To show this, I'm going to write it on my mirror. Love is patient. And when you get done teaching me that, I'm going to write the next one. You're going to teach me about that. The Lord just really gets annoyed with me. Meanwhile, there's this beautiful blonde lady that had come a-courting. And we were watching the movies and eating the foods. It was like a casual, like, okay, she's, like, good and she's my friend and this is great. But, Lord, I really need you to teach me about love. Specifically, love is patient. And there's Robbie, being patient, serving me, doing things for me, praying for me, not pushing me into something she knew was going to happen. And one day, finally, I looked up at that mirror, and instead of seeing love as patient, I just saw Robbie, and I was like, oh, it wasn't something that fell from the sky. It was something that was there. Something that was involved, something that had entered into a messy time of my life and embodied what I needed. And I was blind to that. Prayer is often less about moving God to do something and more about an opportunity for God to give us insight that He already has. What was the answer to Jesus' prayer? Who were the harvest hands? They were there. Peter, James, John, Andrew, all those jokers. You are where you are for a reason. You're in the family you're in for a reason. You're in the job you're in for a reason. Right then, Jesus sent them on like a short little trip. It was like a tiny drop in the bucket to what was ahead of them. Sorry, this message took a really different turn than I thought it would. Is your soul stirred? Is there stuff you just disturbed about? You just want to do something. You want something to be done. You want something to change. Anybody feel that way? It could be a thing in your family. It could be a thing in your own life. It could be a thing about the world. We're the answer to what we see because that's how God has designed it to be. God brought Jesus to life so He could bring us to life. And now it's our job to tell everybody, hey, you're alive. I'm going to give it to you and you can do whatever you want, but can we pray? Will you just stand with me? I'm tired of standing here by myself.
You just said something. You said, I'm tired of standing by myself. That's what I heard over and over again. Would you grab hands with the person next to you? So you see, I believe God has put some things in your hearts, and you might be frustrated because you're not seeing them come to fruition, but we're standing together. It's not her responsibility or my responsibility. It's yours to bring them before God and say, God, what do I do about the thing you've dropped in my heart? That may mean coming to one of the pastors or leaders and saying, I see this, and I guarantee you, we are open to see that with you. But you're going to be the one that God has given that vision to. So, Father, what I pray for this body specifically, and you are doing something different. I feel that too. It's a different place than we've ever been. It's an uncomfortable place. But I see you bringing in people with different visions and different ideas and different skill sets. And I keep going back to what Pastor Jenny said last week. God does not use us in spite of our weaknesses. He uses us because of our weaknesses. So your weakness and your brokenness is why he's going to use you. He couldn't use you in that area any other way. That's powerful. God will use that like he uses the alabaster box. When it's broken, the ointment and the anointing flows. So, Father, right now, we are one with you. Nothing in this world could ever keep us from you. But what we need is for you just to give us direction. Your word says we are your hands and we are your feet. And Father, we also, Lord, are your eyes, and your hands need to get dirty and do what you want us to do. But then we need to do it. So what I come against is fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of the uncomfortable, fear of failure. Those things that we struggle with because maybe we have an idea, but maybe if it doesn't work out, God will work it out. We just have to be his hands and his feet. So I pray for this body. Speak to us, and then we'll get up and do what you're calling us to do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.